This is Steve Martin. I'm here with Bob Eveley. He's a teacher and an author, and he spent years asking the big questions about faith. And so I'm excited to hear Bob's story, how these ideas have changed his life. And so we'll just get started from there. So Bob, to get started, can you share a bit about yourself, your background, your family, and anything else you'd like us to know?
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start with my family. My wife, Jill, and I have been married 49 years, and we were blessed to have five kids, and now we are blessed because all five of them live close to us right where we're at here outside of Lexington, Kentucky. Sadly, we lost our daughter-in-law just about a year ago to cancer. Our oldest son's wife, and she was, I call her my daughter, not my daughter-in-law. So that was a tough loss. But we're blessed to have our five kids, the spouses, the grandkids. We have 10 grandkids plus two more step-grandkids, and all of us get together all the time since we live so close to one another. So that's kind of where we're at today with my family, and came originally from Michigan, Detroit, north of Detroit area. Moved to Florida in 1984, I think it was. I would have been about 30, and then moved here 33 years ago. So we've been here in Kentucky going on 33 years, and we love it here. I don't know if you have other questions you want to ask to guide. Yeah. Well, from the time I was a kid, we grew up in a home that we always attended church. I have one brother, one sister. I'm the oldest. We always attended church. I think my mom taught Sunday school. My dad was in the choir. My dad would always be singing hymns around the house. That was his favorite form of music, was hymns. And by the way, my dad passed away 2 years ago. He was 99 years and 4 months when he passed away. So he was an influence. And my parents gave us a great home that we grew up in, always, as I said, attended church. As I got older, I attended a youth group and kind of went down that path. All of this happened in Michigan, and I really don't have much recollection of really cracking the Bible too much. Mostly at church, there was a lot of singing and some informal Bible things or short Bible things, and maybe at Sunday school. But it was only when we moved to Florida that we attended a big church and had regular Bible studies, really dug into God's Word. That was really a first for us, and Jill and I both loved it. We had a bunch of friends same age. Our kids were all growing up together, very active in the church, and that was the reason, really, I ultimately ended up coming to seminary to work on a degree with the intent of, after I got my degree here at Asbury, to return to Florida as a part of the Methodist Church, and that got derailed. That didn't happen. So just a bit of the backstory, a little bit, which is, I think, very interesting. My dad always believed in the salvation of all. He always believed it. But my dad was the kind of guy that didn't like to ruffle feathers, cause waves. He was happy to be in a church and to sing and to get along and just didn't talk about these things too much. His father, my grandfather, was a circuit preacher in England before he migrated to Detroit area. And so he always talked about these things. And sometimes my dad would drag me to meetings in the Detroit area when I was in high school so that I could play the piano for the group. And but I didn't pay much attention to what they were saying. I didn't have the interest as a kid and even into high school years. And so my grandfather died about the time I graduated high school. And then as my aunts and uncles got older, a lot of his old books were passed to me. And so I began to see some of these things that were all from the Concordant Publishing Concern. And so I really began to dig into this. So I didn't even know that my grandfather believed these things. My dad, when I lived in Florida, took me to a bookstore. There was a man down in the Florida, John Brocht, who has passed away many years ago now, but he had a great ministry where they loaned out cassette tapes of Salvation of All Truth. It was like a lending library of cassette tapes, and he also had a bookstore. And so my dad bought me my first concordant version of the Bible. When I was going to seminary, coincidentally, another interesting part of my story is that my grandfather, during the Depression, his wife had passed away. So my dad had, there was a total of eight brothers and sisters, father raising them. during the Depression, couldn't make it. And so they moved out to Elmont, Michigan, where he lived on a farm of Mr. Huff, who was a good friend of my grandfather's. And so Mr. Huff was also a believer in universal reconciliation. My grandfather knew Mr. Loudy, who was a traveling preacher, I guess, teacher, I would say, in the Concordant strain. And so it turns out that Dean Huff, who is now the head of the Concordant Publishing Concern, is a nephew of Mr. Huff, who was my grandfather's friend. And so all of these connections I knew not much about when I was younger, but when I came to seminary and I attended Greek class and I had some questions trying to read this and keep in mind these other things I've been reading, I would bounce a lot of questions off of Dean Huff, and he was always very gracious to respond to me quickly, and that was a big help. And then sometime after seminary, I did pastor a couple of churches in the United Methodist and the Free Methodist denomination for about 8.5 years, until finally I couldn't do that any longer. I just had to begin speaking out on these truths, and so stepped away from the church, and I wrote my book for the purpose of letting people know I hadn't lost my faith because I was stepping away from the church, but instead this was the reason. And so I guess I'll one more thing and I'll stop talking and let you ask whatever questions you have, Steve. But when I wrote the book, I began to distribute it. I had to buy copies since it was self-published, but a man out on the West Coast said, "Would you mind if I reprinted your book? I want to be able to distribute it." And I said, "That's fine with me." And so he did that. I think he printed 25,000 copies. I think Clyde has a bunch of those copies. But in return, he gave me 5,000. And so I have probably about 4,500 left out in my barn that I give away whenever I have an opportunity. And so that's been a blessing to have that capability to do that. So I'm sure I've forgotten things, but that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Well, that's good. That got me through about three of my questions. Let's talk a little more about your book. Somewhere I read that you tried to keep it, a lot of books, and I've read some of those, were very complicated and very scholarly, and you wanted a book that regular people could read and understand.
Yeah, that's just kind of who I am. I mean, I try to keep things simple. I try to boil things down through my life. One of my favorite hobbies, I read a lot of books, and I highlight things as I read, and then I type up my notes, and I give away copies of my notes at times. And so I just tend to be a kind of person that likes to take things and boil it down so that it can be digested by the average person. I read things like God's Aeonian Purpose by Mr. Loudy, which I think is a great book. It's one of those books that you have to read and then go back and reread and go back and reread. It's a lot of great truth, and I stuck with it, but I felt like as I was reading it that there might be a lot of people out there, because I used to give away copies of that book, might be a lot of people that just wouldn't get past the first chapter or the second chapter. So my purpose was to have something that was basic, that was complete enough to where you could see why I believe these things, but it wasn't so deep that it became like a textbook type thing. And my intent was, I want to introduce people to these wonderful truths on a very high level, and then let them know where they can go if they want to dig deeper.
So basically through your life, you've kind of held to this belief then of the salvation of all. You never really had anything to work through or?
Oh, I worked through quite a bit, Steve. I was not even aware of these beliefs through most of my early years. So when I moved to Florida, we attended these churches. I got to the point where I was teaching Sunday school classes, and we had Bible study groups. We would take turns leading, and all of us were using the NIV study Bible. And I remember one day standing up in front of church, and we were studying a certain thing, and somebody said, "Well, my Bible doesn't have those verses in it." And I said, "Well, it doesn't." So I looked, and sure enough, I found that different translations were based on different manuscripts. And so that was an eye-opener for me. I never thought that deep about it. And another eye-opening moment was, we went to a men's luncheon group for Christian men. And at that group, there was a Messianic Jewish believer that talked to the group. And when he finished, he came from Thessalonica originally. And when he finished talking, somebody said, "Well, what do you think is going to happen to the Jews, you know, when this life is over?" And he said, "Well, they're all going to hell." and the room disrupted. I mean, it was a great uproar. And that's when I began to think, well, you know, if I believe exactly what I am reading in this NIV Bible, I would have to say that that's probably correct, but it doesn't seem right. It didn't sit well. And so for me, when I was first exposed to even the possibility that there was a grander plan than that, I was very open to it. And then I began to think, well, why didn't I see this before? Why wasn't this ever told to me before? It was very quick to go down that road, and I just soaked it up. And at first I would have to say, I was hesitant. I didn't want to be stumbling into error, but I began to see greater and greater over a period of maybe 2 years that, you know, I'd want to believe this. It seems very probable. But then finally I reached the point where I said, well, most certainly this is exactly what the Bible is saying, and became certain. And that's when I began, when I met with the district superintendent of the Free Methodist Church that I was pastoring. And I said, look, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to step down. And here's the reason why. And I began to share some of these things with him, a lifelong Free Methodist district superintendent and a pastor himself. And so he maybe interjected two passages to try to argue with me, and he said, what about this? What about this? And finally, after the third one, he said, well, you know, I always thought there was probably something that would happen after eternity. And I thought, well, that's an interesting statement. But I told him that's why I had to leave. And so I told him, and during the transition, I would not speak openly about this, but I need to leave when he could find a replacement. And so that's what happened. And immediately thereupon, after my departure, I wrote a letter to all of the folks that were a part of the congregation and said, here's why I had to step back. And then I began to work on my book. And on my book, to keep it simple, everything that I wrote, my wife read it. And she said, you need to make this simpler. You need to make this simpler. So she was a big help in keeping me to that task of, I wanted to make it accessible to just the average person that's not going to think that deep just yet.
What are some other beliefs in Christianity where you feel they've misinterpreted or misunderstood the message?
Well, I think the biggest, I think, would be the salvation of all, the Trinity. But the other one, and this is not a new thing for many people, but it was for me coming out of the Methodist strain, was the rightly dividing of the truth. I mean, I still have a lot of friends, and it's, you know, they'll just reach in from anywhere and say, well, this applies to me. I remember that when I first began to go down this road and I opened up the Gospels and I said, why didn't I notice this before? Everything is to Israel. Jesus is saying, I go just to the sheep of Israel. He sends his disciples to go just to the sheep of Israel. Why didn't I notice that before? It's like up to that time, I just kind of pull out a truth and this is God speaking to me. And so that was an eye-opener for me. And I realize a lot of people, long before they ever come to see the salvation of all, they come from different strains of religion to where they already do right division of scriptures. I never did. I never came from that strain. So that was a new thing for me. And I'll tell you what, it sure made the Bible make a whole lot more sense when I began to see it like that. And I began to see God's plan unfolding a little at a time, and just this progressive revelation instead of just a hodgepodge where we just got to reach in and make it apply to ourselves, regardless of the situation.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of came to that. I come from the Mennonite background. And so some of our beliefs are probably pretty similar in a lot of that stuff. And the Bible makes sense all of a sudden.
It does. It does. And I would say one other thing, and it's probably closely tied to the rightly dividing, and that is the legalism that many strains of the church want to keep bringing back in. And on that front, I mean, I remember reading Galatians with this new lens and thinking, well, this could preach just as well in most churches today. Paul would have an issue with a lot of the stuff that's going on here. It's just kind of a integration of the law back into grace, and that's the hodgepodge that we live within in many churches, including the ones that I came from.
So how exploring these ideas affected your personal life and faith?
I guess I would say it's made it stronger because it's made things make more sense. And I just become much more, as I went along, much greater confidence to be able to share these things. I think that the biggest concern that I have, and I try, the reason I try to keep it simple to get folks engaged, is because I think that there are so many people out there that don't have a clue that these truths exist, and they don't think for themselves, and that's disturbing to me. I think many times they'll hear something and they'll go back to their preacher or try to steer me back to their preacher. Well, listen to what he has to say. Well, what do you think, you know, based on your studies? So that's always been a big thing of mine, is to try to get people to think for themselves. And I think I've always kind of done that. But as I have thought for myself and as I've studied for myself, breaking away from the traditional church, I think it's just strengthened my faith and it's strengthened my confidence in being able to share some of these things. And I always try to make sure I do it in a way that's non-confrontational. It's not my idea to go in and cause a great disturbance. But as I often tell people, they'll come to me and say, nobody's really listening to me. It's very frustrating. I said, well, look at the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was largely by himself at the end. We're not commissioned to collect a whole bunch of people that we convince. We're just commissioned to speak the truth faithfully as an ambassador, and God will take care of the rest. And so I guess to answer your question more directly, it's just really strengthened, I think, my faith and my understanding and my confidence to be able to share.
Okay, well, that's basically the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to share or discuss before we finish here?
I can't think of anything else. I think that things like this, in the new world in which we live, that you're able to share this way, I think are amazing. I'm not as high tech myself. I have been on Zoom calls in my career, and so that's the extent of it. I can't set a lot of it up. I usually call one of my high tech kids to help me with things. But there's so many avenues today that between Facebook and I post on LinkedIn sometimes, and things like this, that we can get together like this, meetings that we can gather in. I think it's just great. And I think it's tough for a lot of people. One of the things, I've never had a problem with fellowshipping with people that don't necessarily agree with me. And I think some people struggle with that, and they're trying to find a place to go to where everybody believes these things. And that's nice to be able to gather at times like that. But I think it's a greater thing to be able to deal with people and have honest, open discussions about what we believe and why we believe it, where we don't necessarily all come into it where we agree the same thing. I mean, that's how we spread the truth and help each other. I think it's through forums like that. So I just like to fellowship with people of all kinds. I have no problem with people that disagree, and let's just talk about it. I think I wrote a book a couple years ago. It's just available on Lulu only. It's called Does God Exist and Has He Spoken to Us? And I was convicted a couple years ago to do that. Very short, again, very high level. But because I remember, I still read sometimes about these preachers of old, you know, long ago, 100 years ago or more. And they just used to simply pound their fist and say, this is God's word and this is what it says. And back then, it kind of worked. I mean, a lot of people got misled because they didn't really know what they're talking about sometimes. But no one disputed that the Bible was God's word. Today, it's a different world. And I think that today's believers got to be equipped for that. And I don't think that they are. I think the average believer, they just complain about things they see going on out there, but they have no way of articulating their own belief and why they believe it. They just walk away from it and try to hang around with people that believe just as they believe. But I think that as ambassadors for Christ, I think that we've really got to have an understanding of why we believe what we believe, why we think God does exist, why we think he has spoken through his word. Why do we think that? What's the evidence? Only then can we have a frank conversation with individuals that really have distanced themselves from the church, largely because the church has had such a non-logical message that they proclaimed, it's keeping people away. And that's a disturbing thing too. I think Satan has used the organized church a lot of times to create atheists and keep them away. We've got to be the ones, if we can logically talk through the things that we believe, to engage people in the conversations about God and spiritual things.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time today to talk a little bit. And I want to thank everyone for watching and for listening. And if you have any questions, you can put them in the comments below, and we'll get them to Bob if it's something he can answer. So Thanks. Thank you.